my title, actually part of the scripture, the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. I put a little B there, just the last part of it. So it makes a good title. And it's probably a well-known scripture, but I'd like to investigate it a bit tonight. It's a very interesting scripture, but it's very true. And I want to take a look at each part of this tonight, the first part and then the second part, obviously two parts. First, I'd like to consider the context. There's the whole verse. It says, "Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." Paul here is writing to the Corinthians, answering one of their questions he had for them. They were concerned about food that had been sacrificed to idols. And this was an important question among the heathen nations that the gospel is going out to, and we have other places in the New Testament where this subject is addressed, like also in Romans chapter 14, I think it is. Paul addresses the Romans on the same question. Should they use food that was offered to idols? And the answer was, of course, and they had been taught, the Corinthians had been taught this. It says right there, all of us possess the knowledge. He had instructed them that the idols were nothing anymore. There was nothing into an idol. So that was their knowledge. They knew that, and that was the truth. But not all of them could comprehend that yet. You know, they'd come out of idolatry, and that was an important part of their life. But they had come out of that, and now they believe the truth. But now, what about buying meat that others of their friends and families who believed in idols, and they bought this meat on the market where this food had been offered to idols, and should they use it? And they had been instructed that it was okay, but still they had questions. Paul saying that knowledge, we should not be proud in that knowledge, whereas it would, when you go ahead and eat, it would hurt somebody else whose conscience still isn't convinced. And so, in such a way, you're not showing love, you're not building up that other person. Where the important part, important matter here, is a concern for the brother who needs to be built up. He needs to not to have this stumbling block put in front of him. So, if it's going to offend his conscience, if he eats it, he thinks he's doing wrong, and it'll lead him back into idolatry, then you shouldn't do it, even though you know it's okay. So that's the context here. But Paul inserts this at the end. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I said it as a parenthesis. This has a fact, an obvious fact and truth. I want to look at that part of it. Maybe it's simply obvious, also revealed by Paul, an inspired writer from God. We know that knowledge is important, but we need to have love to be our guide in how to use that knowledge. Okay, I want to just go to the next slide here. There's another scripture on that this same idea occurs many places, and this is an important scripture here too. So basically similar thing about knowledge compared to love. I'll just read it. 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 to 5. "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the divine training that is in faith. Whereas the aim of our charge is love, that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." So here, in contrast, the first part about teaching different things, referring to knowledge, versus love. The aim of our charge is love. The most important thing and the aim of our charge is love. That comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. So it's a similar passage as a beginning scripture, and is including it here as an example. So go to our next slide. I want to just go into some examples how knowledge puffs up. This might be something you could have many ideas on. It might be obvious. The idea here, of course, is that it's getting a swelled or inflated ego, being overconfident, getting a big-headed, thinking more of yourself than you ought to. Knowledge can do that if you let it. So just filling your mind with knowledge and thinking you know something better than somebody else and like that, that's not the whole point of knowledge. And it can let you get a slow legal if you let it. And of course we know many examples of that. Again, love needs to be a guide, not knowledge. Of course we have to, knowledge is one way a person can become proud, and we never have any scriptures involving that. One from a proverb says, "Pride comes before a fall." And definitely, an inflated ego can quickly be deflated. An example, I think it was World War I, one of the battles that was fought, an impending battle, our forces, I think the Allied forces, I might get my words wrong here, but instead of real tanks, they wanted to see the enemy, and they had inflatable tanks, and they were all set up on this hillside here, and it allowed them, the enemy, to think that they had a whole army of tanks, and it worked. But those tanks could never fight. And if the enemy ever found out, it would have been certain defeat. So, of course, tanks, the inflatable tanks, would have mounted a charge against the enemy there. But somebody who thinks himself better than bigger than he is, might decide to go into the battle, into some battle, thinking he's got all this, and he'll be quickly deflated. Just like somebody could just, from the enemy, could shoot a BB gun at one of these tanks and win the battle. Somebody who thinks more of himself than you can be quickly deflated. Our strength needs to be in the Lord when the battle comes. One of my bosses I've had in the past, he had recently got a PhD. He was put in charge of our computing group. And he's a pretty good guy. But he had some special glasses to handle his puff-up problem. Actually, he had broken his glasses in the middle, and he had fixed them with some rubber bands. What he said was, now as his head got bigger, his glasses could stand along with his head. So, that was his comment. His situation. He was joking, of course, but it wouldn't have solved his puff-up problem. Go to the next slide. This is called a puffer fish. Probably most of you know about them. I think they're available for aquariums and they're tropical type of fish. I don't think they live around here anywhere. But this is another example of inflating oneself to scare off the enemy, and it works for the puffer fish. He's also poisonous. You wouldn't want to eat him. He'd probably die. It scares off the bigger fish. But if a bigger fish wanted to attack him, he wouldn't have any trouble with puffer fish. Because he inflates himself. You see the top part of it there is what the fish is like with the toys and toys. He puffs himself up about two or three times the size, and he can look like he's bigger than them, and so they don't try to attack him. So that doesn't mean he's actually got the defenses there, isn't able to fight him off, because he's not. Um, the trouble with people being puffed up is that they really think they're that big, and they can fight off things. So we don't want to be that way. And go to the next slide. Galatians 6:3. Same type of idea I've been pointing out. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. In Paul in Corinthians chapter 8, he brings up that problem because that's one of the Corinthians' problems. They were thinking more of themselves than they ought. Because of the knowledge they have had, they got from Paul and from others, they were fighting themselves in their knowledge. And that's one of the reasons their causes for divisions and things that they were having. And certainly it's causes for division in the churches today. Following different teachers, different theologians, rather than the Bible. Theologians that think their ideas about God's Word are right rather than accepting the plain Bible teaching. And basically the striving between different teachers and leaders that causes divisions. And you just get back to the Bible as plain teachings and not trust in our own knowledge. So we don't want to be deceiving ourselves by trusting in knowledge, our own knowledge, not God's. Of course, brings rise to the cults we have. Leaders claim to have special revelations from God. Even in the early church, there are false teachers. One group is called the Gnostics, they're well known. That means a Greek word for the knowing ones. They had secret knowledge, and only they could understand. So people throughout history, priding themselves on their knowledge rather than trusting God. And it just brings for puffing them up, and they're not really what they think they are. An example of pride from the Old Testament is just the Israelites trying to get into the Promised Land. This doesn't have to, well, it could be related to knowledge too. They thought they were right. When they first tried, spies first went into the Promised Land and brought back a bad report and discouraged the people. So they decided not to go in. God gave them the punishment, 40 years in the wilderness. Then they decided they could do it. They wanted to go in. So there's a story. So they, in their own thinking, or raised up their own leaders who would lead them to do this, decided that they could take the land. And we all know what happened. They thought they could do it, but God wasn't with them. And I don't know how many thousands were destroyed, and they were defeated by the enemy, and they went back out in the wilderness. And I really appreciate the leaders here, because they want us to check out the things that we learn from them. They want to know if they are wrong. You know, so do I. You know, we want to know what God's will is. We want to be accurate. And I just appreciate that effort here and at other churches similar. Like in James it says, wisdom that is pure and undefiled. Not that, isn't it? But anyway, it's open to reason. With true wisdom. If you're open to reason and that's true wisdom from God, not being proud in your own wisdom and not accepting others. Possibilities. Okay, next slide. Okay, he has love builds up. This is the second part of this talk. The idea is here is building up, grow, have strength. Not just appearance, encouragement, hope. And the love has the ability to do that, to bring growth and strength. Not pretended, just real strength and growth and encouragement and hope. Studies have been done that show that like kids do a lot better when they're shown a lot of love. It gives them the inner strength to overcome problems. Love increases our sense of self-worth. Love promotes healing. Love builds good character. Without love, people do poorly. Children can even die without love. Even animals without love and attention don't do well. Go to the next slide. Here's an example of something that wasn't built up well. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, that's the University of Washington Husky football stadium, 1987 about it. It collapsed. Yeah, while they were building it. And so no, I don't think anybody was hurt. It happened off hours. But it was amazing. This structure, it was the main supports were going up and were standing there that would support thousands of people, and they collapsed under their own weight. Because there was it was because of a mistake by some workmen and not putting up the correct guy wires to hold them straight. When they started to tilt off of their intended position of strength, they twisted and fell into this. Still amazing how they could do that. Seems like all steel and stuff. Anyway, it didn't have strength when it was for the twisting motion. They rebuilt the thing, and this is within the time when the company accomplished the project, so they had to start over there. Anyway, it was pretty amazing there. It fell under its own weight. Obviously, something went wrong in the building process, so we want to make sure we're built up correctly. And if you're not built up in love, you can have trouble. Ephesians 4:15-16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. Just note the last part there. Upbuilds itself in love. And that's what love among us can do. So I mentioned my experience at Riverton before it became Glen Acres. Keith really spoke well of Riverton and people there and people here. And when I finally started to come, after you asked me a bunch of times, I was not disappointed. It was really excellent. And the love was wonderful. Love and truth really helped me. Friendliness, hospitality, dinner invitations, special concern for me. Very helpful to visit somebody new in the church coming to learn about Christ. Knowing that somebody cares helps. The love really builds up. And Ephesians 3, I don't have it up here, but it says being rooted and grounded in love. So love like it's also beyond, you know Christ is the foundation, but it says here, rooted and grounded in love. You have a good foundation when you're grounded in love. Love is an excellent foundation. And it's a firm foundation. Our lives can be built on it. Of course, the ultimate love is Christ and the foundation of Christ. Next slide. It's your choice. Do you want to be puffed up or built up? Do you want to be built up or just puffed up? Well, then you need the love from others, fellowship, you need to understand God's love and His teaching. Bottom line is, you need to be in God's family. You need to be among His people to be built up, to be strengthened, to have the love in your Christ in your life. Also, our goal should be to build up others. Not just win an argument, show them how small knowledge you got. So our guide must be love, not just knowledge. knowledge by itself can destroy others if we don't have love. Thank you.